Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 23, verse 15. Translation. Shukracharya said, "My Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice, and you are the Jagya Purush, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancy or faults in his performance of sacrifice?" Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29, Krishna says, "Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram." Krishna, the supreme proprietor, is the actual person to be satisfied by the performance of jagyas. Vishnu Purana says, "Varnashrama charvata, charvata, kurushena parabhuman, vishnura radyate panta, nanyat tattoshakaranam." All the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices are performed for the purpose of satisfying Lord Vishnu, the Jagya Purush. The division of society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, are all meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. To act according to this principle of Varnashram institution is called Varnashrama Charana. In the Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, verse 13, Sutta Goswami says, "Atapumbir dvijasreshta varnashrama vibhagasha sanutishtasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam." O best among the choice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties according to castes and divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Everything is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, since Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Lord, he had no faults, and Sukracharya admitted that cursing him was not good. In the previous verse, Lord Vishnu asked Sukracharya, "What is the fault in Bali Maharaj? What did he do wrong? Why did you curse him?" Because Sukracharya, he cursed Bali Maharaj. And so Vishnu, now Lord Vishnu Narayan, has appeared there at Bali's place, and he's asking Sukracharya, "Please, you explain to this assembly of Brahmanas, what is the fault that Bali Maharaj has done? What is his offense? And then let the Brahmanas decide by collective vote, democratic vote, let them decide, is Bali Maharaj at fault or not?" So when this question was presented by Lord Vishnu to Sukracharya, then Sukracharya, in this verse, he replies, "Actually, my Lord, you are the Jagya Purush, you are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, you are the Supreme Lord, and since he was sacrificing his kingdom, sacrificing his body, sacrificing the whole universe for your pleasure, there's no fault. There's no fault. There's no discrepancy in his activities. Because you are the very source, very object of one's activities, your pleasure. So I made a mistake." Basically, in this verse, Sukracharya is explaining, "I made a mistake. Bali Maharaj is faultless, because he acted only for your pleasure." In this verse quoted in the purport, the same verse Prabhupada was once asked, "What is the most important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam?" There are 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was asked, which is the most important one? And he quoted this one. This is in the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, verse 13. Atapumbir dvija shreshta varnashrama vibhagasha sanutichasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. Haritoshanam, to please Hari, samsidhi. This is the complete perfection. There is no higher perfection, there is no greater perfection than to please Krishna, to satisfy the Lord. And the living entities, we are all jivatma. We are living entities. We are created for this purpose. We are created to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. Haritoshanam. Haritoshanam means to please Krishna, to satisfy Him. That is the whole purpose of the living entity's existence. Like sometimes people, they struggle with this question, this ontological question, existential question. Why am I here? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of this human life, this human form of life, which is so special and so unique amongst all the creatures, 8,400,000, there are a handful that are human beings. And of that small percentage, 400,000 species, 400,000 human species, only a few of them are civilized. And of those civilized species of human beings, only a few are interested in God. And they ask the question, why? Who am I? Why am I here? So the answer is given here in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto. Why are we here? We are created by God for His pleasure, to please Him. And this sounds very simple, simply please the Lord. But then the question is, how do you please the Lord? How do you please someone you've never seen? How do you satisfy someone you never met or never knew? But this is actually the purpose of our existence, to please the Lord. So therefore, Guru Parashraya, one must take shelter of Guru to find out. Guru is one who has realized Krishna. He's pleasing Krishna. Explained in Bhagavatam that unless one controls his senses, unless one actually develops sense control, he can never become steady in devotional service and never realize the absolute truth. That's a very profound and heavy statement. Unless one controls his senses, he can never be steady in devotional service, and he can never attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore we see in Bhakti Yoga and Gyan Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Raja Yoga, all yoga systems, the first principle is sense control. We have Yama Niyama. Yama Niyama, then Pratyahara. Rupa Goswami writes the Nectar of Instruction, Pratyahara. He says it, of course it's in this, he says over collecting, but actually one meaning of Pratyahara is endeavoring in the wrong way. But Pratyahara also means to withdraw the senses from their sense objects. Because this verse talks about samsiddhir haritoshanam. So the goal of yoga is samadhi, or siddhi. Samadhi means perfection. Samadhi means to be completely absorbed in one point, Krishna or God. But to do that, you have to practice yoga. Sometimes people in Krishna consciousness, they think, well, Krishna consciousness is like a big party. It's a big international society for recreation. You can just enjoy and chanting, dancing, and feasting. That is our line. But if that was our line, then why would Rupa Goswami bother? Why would Rupa Goswami bother to write Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita? And why would he mention in the first shloka that sense control is absolutely essential? Without sense control, you will not attain Vrindavan. You will not attain the loving service of Radha and Krishna. Vacho vegam manasakota vegam. Vegam means pushing. Vacho vegam manasakota vegam jiva vedam udrapasta vegam. We're being pushed by our tongue. Drink something, eat something sweet, then eat something salty to counteract the sweet. And then there's too much dryness in the mouth, then drink something sweet, then eat something, and drink something. In this way, the tongue, just like the dog runs by his nose, wherever he smells something, he runs in that direction. Sometimes you see a dog running across a field. He's pursuing one scent, one smell, one scent. And all of a sudden, the wind blows a more prominent scent from another direction, from an opposing direction. So the dog's running, and all of a sudden, whoop! It makes a complete right turn and goes like that and runs towards that more prominent scent or smell. Because he's driven by his nose. Dog has a very keen sense of smell. So in this way, we can see some people are pulled by their tongues this way, that way. But we must control the senses. It's explained that when we become absorbed in sense gratification, When the living entity becomes absorbed in sense gratification, just eating and drinking and eating and drinking and so many forms of sense gratification, then the senses lose their power to experience the absolute truth. When our senses are absorbed in sense gratification, always eating, always drinking, always sleeping, always chasing woman, man, then our very senses, they lose the power. We actually lose the power to experience the personality of Godhead. Because with these very senses, you can also experience the personality of Godhead. So we're not supposed to become absorbed in sense gratification. We're supposed to become absorbed in the service of the Lord and serving Krishna with our senses. This is the role of the spiritual master. Krishna explains in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Acharyamam Bijaniyam Navamanyate Karichit. Acharyamam Bijaniyat. Bijani. You should understand that the guru, the spiritual master, is not, this is, first of all, this verse, Acharyamam Bijaniyam, is spoken by Lord Krishna. And he's speaking to Uddhava. And he's explaining to Uddhava the principles of bhakti yoga, the principles of devotional service, how to serve the Lord, how to please Krishna, please himself. And he says, Uddhava, the first principle you should understand is that the guru and I are the same. Acharyamam, acharyamam bijaniyam. The acharya and mam. Me and the acharya are the same. We are the same. Therefore, this is when we surrender to spiritual master and he engages us in service. Oh my dear Shishya, please do this book distribution. Please collect some funds for building a temple or for the service of the Lord. Please worship the Lord. Please speak on behalf of the Lord. Please manage the temple. All different services that the spiritual master gives us. If we serve the spiritual master, if we please the spiritual master, then we directly please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone has heard the term that the guru, the spiritual master, is the transparent medium to the Supreme Lord Krishna. The medium, the transparent. Transparent means you can see through, you can walk through, you can go through. So transparent medium means, what does that mean? The guru, the acharya, is a transparent medium to Krishna. It means by pleasing him, you please Krishna. It's very simple. Somehow or other, please the spiritual master. Haritoshanam, we can say Acharyatoshanam is the same as Haritoshanam. And at whatever order you're in, whatever social order, or whatever ashram you're in, it is the one and only duty of ours is to please the spiritual master. And that will please the Supreme Lord. Acharyatoshanam means Haritoshanam. However, we have mixed motives. We have selfishness within ourselves. We want so much gratification for ourselves. And when we try to please the Lord or serve the Lord with that kind of motivated, with that mood of selfishness or something for me, then we don't actually please the Lord. We're not pleasing the Lord. We may be acting, we may be serving, but are we pleasing? Because pleasing is the end result. Just like you may, like if you're cooking, for example, you can judge everything by the end result, not by what you're doing. There's so much action is going on. You're collecting pots and gas stove and water and sugar and flour and so many things. You're very active in doing so many things. But you will judge your cooking ability by the end result. Did you make a first-class sabji and chapati or not? Although you're very active. So the end result, that the Prabhupada said, you judge a thing by its results. So we may be very active, running here, running there, doing this, doing that. But the end result is, did we please Krishna? Did we please the spiritual master? Then that determines whether or not you perform devotional service. Because devotional service, bhakti yoga, means to please the Supreme Lord. And it's explained in Bhagavatam that when one has a sincere desire, when one sincerely prays, my dear Lord, I simply want to please you. I simply want to please you and satisfy you with my service. And I don't have the slightest, you can say, desire. I don't have the slightest desire for my personal satisfaction. Then when one develops just that attitude, he immediately satisfies the Lord. If you want to know, because someone, we ask the question, how can you satisfy Krishna and when you've never seen him? But if you have this attitude, if you have the sincere attitude, my dear Lord, I really want to please you. I really want to make you happy and give you satisfaction, give you pleasure. And if there's not, if in your mood, in your mind and in your mood, if there's not the slightest discrepancy, not the slightest discrepancy or desire for personal reward, then that will immediately please Krishna. Most devotees, they are performing devotional service for a reward. You know, reward means remuneration. I will give you if you give me. I will render service if I get some pay, if I get something. As long as I have a nice place to live, and nice clothes, and nice food, then I'll serve. But if it's not, if there's no heat in the winter, I remember in New York, in the 1970s, we had this big skyscraper building on 56th Street. Prabhupada liked it very much. He called it the Hare Krishna skyscraper. Prabhupada used to say skyscraper. The Hare Krishna skyscraper. And to heat that building in the winter, it cost $25,000 a month. $25,000. How many is that? It's 8 lakhs. 8 lakhs a month to heat the building. So those were, we weren't so wealthy in those days. And Prabhupada was here. Well, of course, wealth was there, but the New York Temple was a very big project, so much preaching. So the temple president said, look, we're all brahmacharis, we have to be staunch. We'll just pretend we're up in the Himalayas. We're in this big skyscraper. So there was no heat in the building. It was freezing cold. I mean, New York City is like 0 degrees centigrade, minus 10 degrees centigrade. And we're inside the building. Hoodie roll, hoodie roll, hoodie roll. There were very ecstatic kirtans in that temple. Very ecstatic kirtans. It would go on for hours and hours. Why? Because as soon as you stop kirtan, you would freeze to death. It would freeze. So as long as you're jumping and chanting, hoodie roll, hoodie roll, hoodie roll, you wouldn't feel that it was 0 degrees centigrade. So that was the test of the metal, the test of the devotee. Are you here to serve? Are you actually here to serve and please the Lord, which is the very purpose of our creation? The living entity is made to please Krishna. There is no other purpose for our senses. Our senses are made to please Krishna and to satisfy Krishna. But due to illusion or maya, we think, no, these are my senses. This is my tongue, my eyes, my ears. Let me enjoy. Let me look at these nice forms of material energy. Let me taste these nice things. Let me hear these nice things. These are my senses. When we say my senses, when we say these are my senses and my body, we are saying maya. My senses means maya senses. My body means maya body. You know maya body? There's maya body and there's maya body. Maya body means I am this body, these are my senses. I can, whatever I want to do, I'll just do. At any time I want to use my senses, I will use them. With no discrimination and no self-control. But this does not please the Lord. We are existing as a pleasure potency of the Lord. As explained, when a devotee sincerely develops this desire to only please the Lord and satisfies the Lord, he enters in. That devotee enters into the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. That devotee enters into the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. What is our Shakti now? What is our potency now? We are Tatastha Shakti. Bahiranga Shakti. You know, there's Bahiranga Shakti and there's Antaranga Shakti and in the middle there's Tatastha Shakti. We are on the border. Sometimes in Krishna consciousness and sometimes in the soup. Sometimes we're under the water. Tatastha Shakti. So there's Tatastha Shakti, then there's another Shakti called Aladini Shakti. We're hearing about Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is the grandfather of Bali. So we're hearing about the dynasty of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj's son was Virochan, and Virochan's son was Bali, and Bali's son was Banasura. These are all famous personalities in Bhagavatam. Banasura with his thousands of arms playing the drums for Lord Shiva. You think you're a good Mridanga player? Try to play next to Banasura. Got a thousand hands. So we're hearing about Prahlad Maharaj. So we are Jiva Shakti, Tatastha Shakti. But when we make this affirmation or this sankalpa that, my Lord, I am only for your pleasure. Let me act and speak and hear and see everything to please you and to satisfy you and to bring happiness to you. Then the Tatastha Shakti enters into Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti. That is the pleasure potency of the Lord. And what does that mean? That means that when our senses and our body is engaged in the service of Krishna, we start swimming in a reservoir of pleasure. That's why Prabhupada printed one book, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. Reservoir of Pleasure means Ananda Samudra or something. Ananda Sindhu. Krishna Ananda Sindhu. He is an ocean of Ananda. So these senses, when they're engaged, when a disciple or devotee uses all his senses throughout the day in the service of Krishna without any desire for reward or remuneration or payment, simply just serving to please Guru, really genuinely, sincerely trying to please Guru and please Krishna, then with these same senses, with this eye and with these ears, we can actually come before the Lord. And when we stand before the deity form of the Lord, we will directly with our own eyes experience the transcendental beauty of the personal form of Krishna. We will directly experience the transcendental beauty of the personal form of Krishna with these eyes. Then we know we have pleased Krishna. Prabhupada was asked in Los Angeles, how do we know when we please Krishna? And he said, well, when Guru is pleased. When the Guru says, yes, I'm very pleased with your service, then you know you have pleased Krishna. Well, is there any other way we'll know whether we please Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. When Mangalarti comes in the morning, or if you go out all day and you serve Krishna purely, without counting, no calculation system, not that you serve Krishna with japa beads in one hand and a calculator in the other hand. You understand? One hand you have japa beads, Hare Krishna, the other hand you have calculator. Oh, 20 rupees for Krishna, 10 rupees for me, 20 rupees for Krishna, 10 rupees for me. No, not that kind of service. When you render a whole day of service for Krishna, just trying to please Him and act in such a way that He will be pleased with everything you're doing, then at the night when you come to have darshan of the Lord, or the next morning, when you stand before the Lord, you'll see that Parthasarathi smiles at you. At you, directly. And you'll be wondering, oh, is He smiling at the person next to me? Or no, He's smiling at me. Because Krishna, Prabhupada told us, you will feel satisfied. You will feel that Krishna is smiling at me. That Krishna is happy with me. But if our senses, if we're using our senses in serving Krishna, but with all this mixed up conception of wanting reward and so much discrepancy, not really wanting to please Guru and Krishna in a selfless way, then we can never experience Krishna with our senses. We can never find that satisfaction that Krishna talks about in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says, Raso Varjam Rasopyasya. Pram Jistva Nivartate. He's talking about the highest happiness. Param Sukh. Paramanan. You know, Premanan, Paramanan. Param Jistva Nivartate. How can we experience that? That is Rasam. Raso Varjam Rasopyasya. Niharasya Dehina. With this very body, with these very senses, we can experience that happiness. If we're actually pleasing the Lord with our sense activities. That is what we're looking for. We're looking for the ultimate happiness. We think that happiness is found in just eating or sleeping or mating or defending, drinking. But the real pleasure in life comes from dedicating our senses for the service of Krishna, whom they belong to. Who created them. And then we will actually experience that ananda we're looking for. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita,
He mentions that you enter into this Ladini principle. Mahatmanas tamam partha, daivyam prakritam ashrita. Mahatmanas tamam partha, daivyam prakriti. What is this daivi prakriti? What is this daivi prakriti? This daivi prakriti is Srimati Radharani personified. Daivi prakriti means Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency. Daivi prakritam ashrita. The Mahatma. Mahatma means someone, that great soul. Who is a great soul? A great soul is a devotee who has dedicated his senses to the service of Guru and Krishna. Mahatmanas tamam partha. He has dedicated his life energy, his prana, to the service of one, Krishna. All my senses are for his pleasure. My body is for him. And his representative, Acharyamam Bijanayam, the Guru. And such a person, he is a Mahatma. He's a great Atma, Maha-Atma, Mahatmanas. And that is a symptom, Daivim Prakritam Ashrita. He has taken shelter of the internal energy. He has taken shelter of the Daivi Prakriti, which is the internal potency of the Lord, which is Ladini Shakti, which is the pleasure potency of the Lord. So the Mahatmas, they are swimming in that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. They are swimming in that ocean of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And that ocean of service to Krishna is full of ananda, full of pleasure, aladani, daivim prakritim ashrita. So we are pleasure seekers. We are looking for happiness. We are looking for the ultimate pleasure. This is where it's found. When we come to that point, Krishna, I realize that you have created these senses. And that there's actually an unlimited ocean of happiness if I engage these senses in your service. My eyes are wanting to see something nice. I want to see nice forms. So a man, whenever he sees woman, his eyes go to the woman's body and her form with the speed of a laser beam. You know laser beam? They have a laser pointer. There's something in the computer magazines, they have a thing called a laser pointer. You go like this and it shoots 100 meters. It's a red beam. So the eyes of the man are like a laser pointer. As soon as he sees the form of a woman, zoom, they shoot to that form in 1 second, right and left and up and down and back and forward. Seeking pleasure. Seeking happiness in form of woman. And woman, same. Her eyes seeking pleasure in form of man. Rich man, opulent man, powerful man. Beautiful man, handsome man. So eyes want pleasure. But did you ever think that I'm looking out for pleasure in this material world? Can I possibly look the other way? Because what goes up comes down, so things equal to themselves must be equal to each other. So I'm looking out for pleasure. Well, what happens instead of looking out if I look within? I'm looking for beautiful women to look at, a beautiful man, and find, yeah, this one's nice. Well, this one's nice. Oh, I'm happy. This one's not nice. I'm not happy. Well, this is a very nice one. I'm happy. Oh, very nice. I'm really happy. But I'm not too happy because she's not mine. She's somebody else's. Anyway, maybe in the future I catch one. But if we look within, like all the acharyas will tell us, and all the exemplars and teachers throughout the whole period of human history, the kingdom of God lies within you. Look within you to find unlimited ananda. So instead of always looking out, we say, okay, I'm going to look within. How do you look within? That's called introspection. Introspection. Spectral means looking. In means antar. In. Look inside. Look inside. Close your eyes and see the form of Krishna in your heart. Is he there? It says in the Bhagavatam, he's there. It says the Paramatma's in the heart, isn't it? Chaturbhuj Narayan Antaryami, have you seen him? Have you tried to see him? Have you even looked for him? No, you're too busy. You're too busy looking for the latest movie star in the Connaught Place, or in the airport, or in wherever you go. Bhuvaneshwar Das Brahmacharya ki jai, Radha Shamasundar ki jai. He's the head cook for Radha Shamasundar from Vrindavan. So we're blessed. Prabhupada's disciple. You please the Lord by glorifying the Lord's devotees. This is another secret. You want to please Krishna? You glorify his devotees. So this a humble devotee walking in, not very nondescript, quiet devotee. For 20 years he's been cooking for, 22 years or 23 years he's been cooking for Radha and Krishna. Hot or cold, health or infirmity. I remember one time he cut his finger, because he's cutting in the kitchen, his finger was all cut off, and he was all bandaged up, and he was cooking like this. I saw him in the kitchen, he was all bandaged up, and for 1 week he's cooking with one hand. I said, what's going on? Oh, I can't stop my service. I said, what happened to your finger? Well, I cut my finger off, but I can't stop my service. It's like, I do the whole offering with one hand. So this is devotee, wanting to please Krishna with every desire and every activity. So we have to practice looking for Krishna. When the eyes are pushing to look outside at the forms of this world, try closing the eyes and seeing, can I see Radha Parthasarathi in my heart of hearts? Can I see Radha Madhav in my heart? Can I see Radha Shyamasundara in my heart? Because if you can't, you're not a devotee. Okay, I accept that. I can't see them. But at least we're trying. So we are aspiring devotees. No one can say, I am Vaishnava. We are trying to be devotees. We are trying to be Vaishnava. So Vaishnavas, they try like this. They try to please Guru. Oh Gurudev, how can I please you? How can I serve you? That is a samsidhir. Samsidhi. That is complete perfection. Samsidhir haritoshanam. If we can please Guru, then guaranteed we'll please Krishna. Because Krishna said, Acharyamam Vijanayam. He is me. If you feed him, you feed me. If you please him, you please me. This is a very basic point of Krishna consciousness. But it is often forgotten. Because we serve Krishna, we're serving every day. Yes, I'm doing my service, Prabhu, I'm very steady. But this is not really steadiness. When we talk about nishtha, nishtita bhakti, this type of steadiness, one comes to nishtha. It comes to nishtha bhakti when he comes first, when he comes to sense control. Vachu vegam manasa krodha vegam. When we learn to control our senses, when the senses are under our control, then we come to nishtha. Because you can't control the senses when you're swimming in the ocean of anartha nivritti. With so many anarthas, so much calm and krodha and lobha, very difficult to control the senses. So how to control the senses? To grab this principle as if it's our very life preserver, to cross that ocean of anartha nivritti. What is that principle? What is that principle which will save us and take us across the ocean of anarthas? It is a principle of trying to please Guru in a sincere, honest way. Sincere, honest way, trying to please Guru and Krishna with all of our senses. And no desire for reward, no desire for something back for me. If I get something, then I serve. If I don't get facility or whatever, then I don't serve. The realized soul, he understands that I have nothing other to do in this world. I have no other engagement. I have no other activity. I have no other work to do in this world but to please Krishna and satisfy him. This is the perfection of yama. Ese utamagati. Sri Guru Charane Rati, ese utamagati. The beautiful feet of my spiritual master, Sri Guru, they will give me perfection. Utamagati. They will take me to the supreme pleasure abode of the Lord, that reservoir of pleasure, Sri Krishna. And my meditation on his lotus feet is how can I please him, how can I please him. And a disciple will feel that his entire existence, the totality of his existence in this material world, a disciple will consider that it is perfect, that it is actually attaining meaning if my spiritual master will once smile upon me. If I can gain the favor of my spiritual master, if my spiritual master can smile upon me in satisfaction with the service I have rendered at his lotus feet, then I feel, and I will feel, that my life has attained perfection. This is the perfection of a disciple, is to try to please a spiritual master, just once, at least once, with selfless, unmotivated service. We can ask ourselves this question. Am I serving to please Guru or to please myself? And the degree to which we're pleasing ourselves and holding on and keeping for ourselves, that's the degree to which we're pleasing Guru. That balance. So, Narayan is telling Shukracharya here that Bali Maharaj, he has attained perfection. He is pleased. Excuse me. Shukracharya is responding to Lord Narayan and saying, actually, Bali has attained perfection. He is pleased, the Yajna Purusha. So Yajna Purusha means the enjoyer of Yajna. Because in those ages, people were doing giant Yajnas. So what is our Yajna? We are also trying to please the Yajna Purush. So who is the Yajna Purush in the age of Kali? How does the Yajna Purusha appear in the age of Kali? He appears as Sri Nam Prabhu. Sri Nam Prabhu, like we have Lord Krishna or Sriman Mahaprabhu. So the Sri Nam, the Hari Nam, that he is a Yajna Purusha. He is the enjoyer of the Yajna. Yajna Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedishaha. Yajna Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedishaha. In Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan, Sankirtan, this is the Yajna. There's not Gomeda Yajna or Ashwamedha Yajna. These Yajnas are not being performed in this age. But this Sankirtan Yajna, the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna, Shamsundar, Damodar, Govinda Gopal, Govinda Bolo Hari Gopala Bolo, Govinda Bolo Hari Gopala Bolo. Right? Everyone likes this. When the kirtan comes, everyone comes alive. You see them running around Govardhan Hill, running around Radhakund Shamakund. Govinda Bolo Hari Gopala Bolo, Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Bolo, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, the Yajna Purusha appears in Kali Yuga as the Sankirtan, the Harinam Prabhu. So we are performing that Yajna. In previous ages, I got so much wood, Arani wood, so much ghee, so many grains, Swaha, 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 Idam Bhagavatam, Swaha, and all these mantras. But they had to please some Siddhir Haritoshanam. If you don't please Hari in the Yajna, then the Yajna is worthless. So we have to please the Sri Nam Prabhu. We are also doing Yajna. We are worshipping the Holy Name. We are trying to serve the Holy Name and become servants of the Holy Name. So we can question ourselves. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, are we chanting with a pure desire to please Sri Nam Prabhu? Sri Nam Prabhu, who has come in this form as Krishna Nam, Ram Nam, and Radharani's name, and Hare, Hara. Are we chanting with that mood? Oh, Srimati Radharani, I want to please you. Oh, my dear Lord Krishna, I want to please you. I want to please you, and I'm begging you to please, please engage me in your service for your pleasure. That should be our prayer over and over again. I want to please you. I want to please you. I want to please you with my chanting. I'm not leading kirtan for sense gratification, or for adoration, or fame. I'm not chanting japa for getting some money, or getting some position. I'm chanting kirtan or japa to please you, to glorify you, to bring happiness to you, to bring happiness to your ears. I want to please your ears, and please your heart, by glorifying and vibrating your beautiful transcendental names. In 1924, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote a list of rules for the ashram. He wrote a list of rules for the ashram. And in the ashram, there were living all sannyasis and brahmacharis in his 64 mats. And this list was sent to all the mats. And there it said, one should not lead kirtan and try to sing in a sweet way in order to attract the wives of the grihastha members of the community. One should not lead kirtan and sing in a very sweet way in order to attract the wives of our grihastha members. This was an order to the brahmacharis and sannyasis in the mat. In other words, the sannyasis and brahmacharis usually lead the kirtan in the mat. So many grihasthas come with their beautiful wives. So then the devotees thinking, oh, I'm singing so nicely, the girls are all looking at me, or maybe this wife is, she's looking at me. And so Bhakti Siddhanta says that this is 1924. So the idea, he's addressing our Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. He's addressing a particular mentality. The mentality that I'm singing kirtan to get fame, or to get adulation, or praise, or recognition. Or moreover, I'm trying to catch one of these little fish out there. I want to catch one of these. And that's happened many times in Vrindavan. I've seen it. There was one devotee who used to sing in the kirtan party. In the 24-hour kirtan party. Very good singer. You know, very nice, alankaras, everything. Then these Western girls, they used to come. And they're looking for a husband. So they want to get some husband that has something special. Either he's temple president, that's number one choice. Temple president, then, or no, first sannyasi, then temple president. And then, you know, different positions they want to catch. So, okay, he's a good kirtan leader. He's a famous kirtan leader. Okay. So then they perch there in a temple and they look at him. Ooh. And then he's singing, Hare! Hare Bo. She catches him with a sidelong glance. Choom! With an arrow. And then pretty soon, the person's getting married. Guess who he's marrying? No, not very easy to guess. That same girl that was just camping out in the temple, making eyes at him and looking at him. Oh, you sing so nicely, Prabhu. Oh, Prabhu, you sing so nicely. You really can lead nice kirtan. Oh. What crap. So this goes on. So he was, you know, it takes two to tango. So he was singing with that desire for woman. He was singing sweetly to attract woman. And he did. He got his wife. So Bhakti Siddhanta noticed, he knows that this is the mentality. This can be the mentality. This motivated, ulterior motive, motivation, selfishness, lust, greed can creep in and take over your desire to please Guru and Krishna. So these must be eliminated, vanquished, destroyed, and removed from our consciousness. We should serve Guru to please Guru, and we should chant Hare Krishna and lead kirtan to please Krishna. Krishna, we should think, Krishna, you're sitting in front of me. It's like Prabhupada Prabhu said, don't roam around the universe when you chant japa. Sit next at Prabhupada's lotus feet, sit in front of Tulsi, sit with devotees, chant, or sit in front of your deity and chant japa. This is recommended by all acharyas and all shastras. This is best. So, when we're chanting in kirtan, when we're chanting japa, we should think, Krishna is sitting in front of me, Lord Chaitanya is sitting in front of me as a personification of Sri Nam Prabhu. Hare Krishna, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we open our, oh Krishna. We should try to imagine, let me chant so nicely and so perfectly and so much purity and so much surrender that if I open my eyes, I will see Lord Chaitanya sitting in front of me smiling. Is that possible? Yes, it's possible because we hear from the story of the great acharyas that when they perform pure sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya appears there. Vrindavan Das Thakur says in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Lord Chaitanya appears in four places. He appears in the home of Mother Sachi whenever she cooks an offering. And he appears in the home of Raghava Pandit and Damayanti whenever they cook an offering. And he appears wherever Lord Nityananda dances in kirtan. And he appears in the kirtan hall of Shiva Sangam. So he says he appears wherever Lord Nityananda appears. And Lord Nityananda will appear wherever there's a chanting of the pure name of the Lord. And the Keturi Mahotsava, which was performed by Janamamata 50 years after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, they had the first Gaurpurnim festival. The first Gaurpurnim festival was held 50 years after the Tirubhav, the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and was held by Srinivasacharya Narottam Das Shamananda, and Mother Janamamata was presiding there in Keturi, East Bengal, Bangladesh. And they had a nice kirtan there. Srinivas was singing Gaurahati, Gaurahati style, beautiful kirtan, simply to please the Lord. No ulterior motive, no lust involved, no profit, no adoration, no distinction, pure kirtan. He was leading a beautiful kirtan, and Narottam Das Mahashaya was there leading kirtan. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that kirtan, everyone saw the Panchatattva were dancing with all the devotees. And all the devotees were amazed. What? What is this? What? What? And everyone, they were enthralled and captivated and danced. They were dancing and everyone's eyes were fixed on the Panchatattva and they were dancing. Then everyone ran back to their diaries and they wrote in their diaries, different devotees, they wrote, the Panchatattva, we saw them. They were in the kirtan. So this pastime and so many other pastimes show that whenever the pure name of the Lord is chanted, Lord Chaitanya will come right there to dance in that kirtan. So it is not out of the question. If you can sit and imagine when you're chanting japa with your eyes closed, meditating on the form of Lord Chaitanya, and trying to please Guru with pure chanting of the holy name, you may open your eyes, you may someday see Lord Chaitanya sitting in front of you smiling. And when we leave kirtan, Krishna's right in front of us, Lord Chaitanya's right there, there he is, standing there. But what is your thinking when you're leading kirtan? What is your meditation? What do you think? Oh, wow, these are good speakers. Turn it up. Turn it up to number 10. Blow out the speakers. Let everybody hear my beautiful voice. I'm such a wonderful Gandharva. Frankly speaking, everyone here sings like a frog, including me. If we compare ourselves to the Gandharvas, they will simply become deformed. When we start singing, they will become deformed. They'll become, their arms and they'll bend in half. They'll say, oh my God, stop. But we think out of false ego, I'm a big Gandharva. I'm such a famous singer. Listen to me. We're nothing. But if you can please the Lord, it said that Bhakti Sananda Saraswati used to sing off key. But Krishna used to cry when he would sing in kirtan. Krishna would cry. Such sweet, such beautiful love was coming from his heart. Such a pure heart. He was offering his heart through the wings of his voice. And his voice was carrying his heart to the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna was accepting his heart by the wing, carried on the wings of that pure kirtan. So who's chanting like that? So this is the principle that was embodied by Bali Maharaj. He pleased the Lord. So we have to please the Yajna Purush. We have to please the Srinam Prabhu by pure chanting. Simply thinking, Krishna, please accept, I want to chant for your pleasure. I want to sing for your pleasure and chant, please, I don't want anything else but to please you and satisfy you. I have no other desire than that. When we come to that platform, sincerely desiring only to please Krishna, then we will very quickly make advancement in Krishna consciousness. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, it explains the 28 qualities of devotee. So one quality of the devotee is sarvapa upakara. It means that the devotee, he doesn't desire anything for himself, but he desires for the welfare of others. This is called welfare work. Sarvapara upakara. The greatest welfare. So this is, we desire to please others by giving them Krishna. This is why Prabhupada has engaged us in this Sankirtan movement. Because engaging in preaching will make us selfless. Engaging in preaching and trying to help others and satisfy others by giving them Krishna will purify us of this selfish desire. That is why he so much emphasized this preaching. This is the greatest welfare work. And this propensity to want to enjoy and want to be the desires for self-pleasure becomes washed away when we go to help others and give them Krishna. That's why so much ISKCON emphasizes preaching, even to new people. Try to help someone, try to give some benefit to someone else, because this is the most pleasing activity to the Lord. To give Krishna to someone, that is the most pleasing. Of course, what can we give him? If we have 1% Krishna, we can give 1% Krishna to someone else. This Prabhupada said we should preach according to our realization. Preaching means giving. giving everyone a chance to serve Krishna. And we should also understand that trying to please Krishna means that we please everyone. Because Krishna is the... Who is Krishna? Krishna is the resort... the reservoir of all living entities. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Everything is within Krishna and Krishna is within everything. So ultimately all living entities are within Krishna. So if we try to please Krishna and satisfy Him, ultimately we will please everyone else. We can please every living entity by trying to please Krishna. And we'll find that. We will find a devotee who is engaging all his senses for the pleasure of Krishna will actually find joy at every step of life. Because he is not trying to exploit anyone in this world. He's a giving person. He's not a taker. Most living entities, we are takers. We want to take something from this world. Take a beautiful sight. Take a sweet taste. Take a this, take a that. We are takers. We are on the take. Sometimes they have the expression, he's on the make. But actually the expression, we're on the take. We want to take so many things for our so-called pleasure. But a devotee who is in this mood, who has this quality, this is one of the 28 qualities of a devotee, sarvapakara, who is working for the benefit of others, he's not a taker, he's a giver. He wants to give Krishna to others. He wants to give them this, he wants to give others the satisfaction of pleasing Krishna. Because this is the ultimate satisfaction. There's no higher satisfaction than engaging the senses in Krishna's service. We may think to see the beautiful sights of this world is satisfaction. But when we develop this mood of pleasing Krishna, as I explained, we will develop the power to experience so much happiness by seeing the transcendental form of the Lord. This is what we said 20 minutes ago. That if our senses, if we're always taking, pleasurable objects of the eyes and taking pleasurable objects of the tongue and ears and etc. In other words, if we're always absorbed in sense gratification, we lose the power to experience Krishna with these senses. That's what I said 20 minutes ago. But when we develop this mood of giving Krishna to others, and trying to see others pleased and see others happy by engaging in Krishna's service, then we are pleasing Krishna. Krishna is very pleased by such preaching. And when we please Krishna, then we get the power. We get the power with these very senses to experience unlimited transcendental bliss by seeing Krishna. We will actually be able to experience the transcendental beauty of Krishna's personal form. But as long as our eyes are always looking out there and trying to take this form and take that form and take this form, when we come before the deity, we don't see anything. Nothing registers, nothing happens, because we're so busy taking. But when we start really giving Krishna to others, then when we come before the Lord, He'll give Himself to us. We'll see, oh, such beauty in your form. I can't pull my eyes away. I can't pull myself away. Seeing your form is a transcendental festival. It is a festival for my eyes. That's explained in the 10th canto, Netra Mahotsav. And when the gopis would look upon the beautiful face of Shyamasundara, it appeared to them like a Netra Mahotsav, a festival for the eyes. A Netra Mahotsav. Mahotsav means festival, Netra means eyes. So devotees will experience that if they develop this mode of giving pleasure to Krishna and giving Krishna to others. This is bhakti. This is devotion. We must come to this platform. Because this is the ultimate platform of happiness. The highest samadhi is to please Krishna with all of our thoughts, words, and deeds. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, land there. Is there any questions or comments? The question is, when we're leading kirtan, we want to please Krishna. So from whom can we learn how to sing? Of course, our personal mood always was that whoever knows how to sing, let them sing. In our life, we haven't led hardly any kirtans in the last 20-some years. Because we were in Los Angeles Temple and San Francisco. We were always surrounded by so many expert kirtan leaders. Our mood was, well, let them. They're empowered. Krishna's given them a wonderful voice. And they're senior to me. Let them lead the kirtan. And of course, in your room, you can sing with your kartals. You can do your bhajan. Every devotee has his personal bhajan. But when it comes to the temple, the purest devotee, the best singer, and the purest devotees, they should lead the kirtan. And we don't have any problem with the ego. Oh, I want to lead the kirtan, it's my turn. Because the principle is, it's not that the principle, it's my turn, give me a chant. The principle is, Krishna, you should be pleased. Krishna is your temple. Just like if you go to your home, and you have a stereo, cassette player, you put on good records. You know, you put on your favorite records, the ones that sound good, the ones that please you. You put on your favorite CDs or whatever. And then you sit, aram, aram, very nice. You don't get some lousy, crummy, no good record and put it on, rah, 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 rah. Oh, yeah, this is nice. Oh. No, in your house is all the CDs that you like and all the nice musicians and, this one, that one. So the same thing, this is Krishna's house. And there's singing going on. Instead of having some CD disc, we have, a live presentation. Live singer. Instead of some plastic disc. So the same thing. We don't want to come in, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It's like some broken record, some lousy recording, some, amateur singer. You wouldn't buy it. You're not going to pay $20 or 100 rupees for an amateur singer's cassette. You want the best. No. So, the same thing. Krishna should have the best singers. Whoever sings nicest and purest and sweetest, let them sing for Krishna. Let them sing every day. Fine. I don't let them sing all the kirtans. Why, what is the problem? Why do I have to get up there? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What's the point? What are you proving? What are you proving? You're proving to the world that you can't sing? Krishna's standing there in the altar. No, Prabhu, it's not like that, Maharaj. See, I want to offer my kirtan to Krishna. Okay, go in your room and chant. But no one chants in the room. Everyone's so keen to grab the microphone. But I don't hear anybody in the room with any kartals, Hare Krishna, and crying their hearts out. Nobody's doing any bhajan in the room. But as soon as you come to the temple and get the microphone, okay, number 10. Everybody wants to show off to the world what a great kirtan and bhajan man they are. But in their room, nobody picks up a kartal in 500 years. No one here has picked up kartals in 500 years and led a kirtan in their room or in their house. But you get to the temple, watch out. Watch out, Maharaj. Turn it up. And it's terrible. 90% of the people that sing in this temple can't sing. They can't sing. Who are you proving? You have to lead the kirtan every day? Oh, I'm the great kirtan leader? And the ones that know how to sing or should teach the ones that are aspiring. In other words, you get a group. Most temples of the world, the best singers lead the kirtan. They have a list. Okay, Monday Agni Dev, Tuesday, Bharadraj, Wednesday, Dhanavir. Yeah, Vakreshwar Pandit, and then, what's that other one that, yeah, Pragosh and all the different... Yeah, that's the other one, the tall one. Oh, so many good kirtan leaders. So this is our honor, this is our pride. We're proud. Oh, like who in our temple, who can lead kirtans? We know Varaha's a good kirtan leader, and Vrajabhakti, and different devotees, they have good voice, and Mohan. So let them please the Lord. What's the big problem? Why I have to grab the microphone? But they're devotees, they don't want to assert themselves, so they go to the back and they let somebody get their ah. But actually, the best kirtan leader should serve in the temple to please the Lord. What is the whole purpose of our existence? To bring the greatest happiness to Krishna. If you like nice kirtan, if you like nice bhajan and sweet songs in your house, you don't think Krishna likes nice bhajans and sweet songs in his house? He's different? He likes to have some lousy singers and off-key people. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's the ultimate person, the supreme person. How refined his senses are. What a cultured gentleman he must be. So that's why you never see me leading Mangal Arati again, once every 3 years or something. I can't sing, so why should I pretend? I'd rather have Varaha or Mohan Rupa lead. They take turns, let them take turns every other day, Radha Damodar or whoever that. You take turns. If I don't lead in 100 years, it doesn't bother me. I go in my room and I chant for 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. Krishna's there, I'm there, fine. I don't have to come here and make a big scene with the microphone. This is devotee. Trinadapi suni chena turari vasahishana amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the sum. That's why I said this verse is the most important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Prabhupada explains sam siddhir haritoshanam. All perfection is haritoshanam. The complete perfection is just try to make Krishna happy. Try to make him pleased. Try to please Guru. Make him smile. It's not hard. Just be a little reasonable. Oh, you like nice singing? You like nice sweet kirtan, sweet bhajan? Okay. Anybody here know how to sing sweetly? Oh, I do. Okay, here. Sing. Play harmonium. Sing nicely. I'll go behind. Anyone know, like cooking? Okay, anyone who wants to cook? Yeah, I can cook. You make all these chapatis that look like India and South Africa and Australia and all different shapes, right? You know. Now, who knows how to cook? You know how to cook? You can cook? Yes, oh, Maharaj, somehow or other, my mother taught me I'm a very good cook. Okay, cook for Krishna. Please Krishna with your cooking. Oh, you know how to sew nicely? You can really sew really perfectly? Somehow, Maharaj, I'm very expert. Okay, you sew outfits for Radha Parthasarathi. You know how to collect money? You're good talking to people, business people, like Ram Nam, he's good. He must have a good money line, you know? Okay, you come for Krishna, you work for Krishna. Or you know how to, you know, do politics and get through government and everything, like Mr. Mantra or Mahamantri. Okay, Mahamantri, you come and be a lawyer for Krishna. Maha-lawyer. He's a Maha-lawyer. So he's an advocate. He's advocating the cause of Krishna. He's swan-like. Paramahamsa advocate. All these other advocates are like crows, you know, kaka, what is it, kaka or something? Kaka advocates. Rah-rah-rah. They're advocating all nonsense politics, all nonsense policies, all nonsense forms and everything, you know, this policies. But this is a Paramahamsa advocate. He is trying to spread Krishna's beauty and glories. So in this way, we all have some skill and talent. So let that one who has that talent, let him offer it to Krishna. And together we're a beautiful family, pleasing the Supreme Lord and His divine consort, Srimati Radharani. There's no other perfection for us. There's no other activity for us than to act in such a way that Krishna and Guru are pleased. If we can do that for 1 minute or 1 day, then our whole life will be perfect. Some siddhi. You want siddhi? You want perfection? Then just please Krishna once. Can you do it? Can you please Krishna or please Guru one time? If you can do that, we're practicing day after day after day to come to that one time when we actually purely, genuinely please Guru and Krishna. Then we'll attain some siddhi. Perfection means pure love of God. Any other questions? How to learn singing? You say you have to learn from those who know. I know that Radha Swami, he's a very coarse, you know, one of our great acharyas, and he's a very good kirtan leader. But he has ability, but he studies a lot. He learned how to play harmonium in 1971 from Ramesh Baba in Mankutir in Barsana, before he joined ISKCON. So he's been studying music. Radha Swami's been studying music for about 30 years. He's studying it. And I was in Bombay. He had one person who knew ragas. It was about 3 years ago. He knew all the different ragas, Astakalya ragas. He was coming every day and teaching Maharaj ragas. You know, he was just learning the ragas for Hare Krishna, but he wanted to learn all different ragas for different times of the day. So it's those devotees that are good singers, they can get together and get some funds and hire some music teachers and study professionally and learn the different ragas for different times of the day. Prabhupada would stop so many times in Los Angeles and New York, he would stop the morning kirtan leader if he was singing the wrong raga. It's not that you come in here at 4:30 in the morning and Brahma Muhurti and sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, there's a particular melody that Prabhupada had. You can hear it on his tapes.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
You know, and then it goes a little faster, and there's like three different parts to it. That's the morning melody, that's the tune for Mangalarti, and there's no second tune. That's it. Now do you sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? No, you don't come in and make up whatever melody is going through your head. If you don't have enough brains to remember the morning melody, then you have no business standing in front of the microphone. A singer, one of the expertise of a singer is that his brain is a computer full of melodies. That is a God-given talent. Like he knows, a good singer has thousands of melodies and ragas in his brain. That's why he's a good singer. Oh, now it's this time, I'll sing this melody. It's not that you get up to, oh, what's the morning melody? Oh, I don't remember. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Just make up something. It's like a double offense. You don't know how to sing. You don't know how to sing, and you're singing the wrong melody, wrong raga. So you're like, two strikes, you're out. You know? So these are some points. Any other question? This gentleman was saying that he was something like that person I mentioned in the lecture that has japa beads and mala in one hand and calculator in the other. But I wasn't speaking of the principle of someone being distracted while chanting. I was speaking of someone who was trying to chant Hare Krishna a little bit to please Krishna. In one hand he wants to please Krishna, but the other hand he wants to please himself. So he's a calculator, so he's calculating, oh, this is so much for me, so much for me, so much for me, a little for Krishna. It's a different point. You're asking a question, well, my mind is distracted when I'm chanting Hare Krishna to business or family or whatever. So how do I keep my mind from being distracted? So there are different recommendations given by acharyas. But one point is that we should chant in the sattvic time of the day. Try to do mala in the morning between 4 and 7 a.m. during sattvic time because it's peaceful. The atmosphere is peaceful. That's one point. Another point is that you put a cloth over your head so that your eyes won't look around the room. Of course, the biggest distraction is inside, the mind. Mind is running. So then, to keep the mind from running, we can open our eyes and look at poster of the Lord, poster of Krishna, Radha Krishna, or deity photo, or if we have Thakur, or we see the form of Tulsi, we chant in front of Tulsi. Then we can also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the mind is running. The mind runs over form, the mind runs over form, rupam, and ideas, and runs over conceptions and thoughts, and many ways the mind runs. So when we're chanting japa, the mind, when it's running over ideas, it's running over this idea, that idea, then we can inject, it's explained in Nam Bhajan by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can inject into the mind the different meanings of the name. What am I chanting? What does this mantra mean? So the mind is running, wait a minute, Hare Krishna, what does this mean? Oh, Hara, oh, energy of the Lord, oh, Srimati Radharani, please engage me in the service of Krishna. That's an idea. That's a positive idea, a spiritual idea. It's a translation, it's a conception of the mantra.